You have some people in the neighborhood that have cottonwoods, and you see that floating stuff around. Those are from the female trees. So mine is a male because he doesn't do that, and I'm very happy that he doesn't do that too. But yeah, I thought it was very interesting. There are male and female trees. The root system on these aspens is horizontal. The root system does not grow very deep down, but they do spread out. And then they will produce sucker trees, you know, 10 feet away, 20 feet away, or whatever. So Romans chapter 1, verse 20, and I'll get to why I'm showing you a picture of my tree in my backyard. But Romans chapter 1, verse 20 says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse." See, God reveals, according to this scripture, God reveals himself, his qualities, his invisible qualities, his power. He reveals himself in his creation. Everything that has been created by him has his thumbprint on it. And we tend to just take things for granted. Do we not? I've taken this tree for granted for years. But there are certain qualities that God reveals to us through his creation. In fact, he says, nobody has an excuse for not believing in me if you just look at my creation. I have revealed myself through what I have made. What's sad is we have more people that worship the created as opposed to the creator. Very sad. But God reveals himself in the beauty of his creation. I mean, you look up the stars at night, and I marvel. The other day, the moon, it was almost a full moon, and it was up in the sky, and right just next to it was Mars. It was incredible. And God reveals himself in all of these things. Jesus often used nature to teach spiritual truths. He said the kingdom of heaven is like this, and he would talk about vines or fruit trees or whatever. So he often used nature to teach his disciples spiritual truths. So there are spiritual truths, believe it or not, that I have gleaned from the tree in my backyard. Now, I spend a lot of time in my backyard. I love my backyard. It's a place that is, we can gather with friends and family. It is also a place that I go and sit by myself and just enjoy my backyard. And so I've come up with some spiritual truths that I have learned from this quaking aspen tree, and I'm going to share those with you. Number one, what you can't see in this picture is the tree in the backyard that stands strong was a shoot from another tree. Off to the right, about 10 feet, I had another quaking aspen, and it grew. It was bigger than this one, quite a bit bigger. This is about 20, 25 feet high. I think the other one was probably close to 50 to 60 feet high. And it was an awesome tree. Well, it ended up dying. But before it died, this tree started to come up. And so one tree was on the way out, and another one was just started. So you can't see the original tree. What's interesting is both of those trees, the one that is gone and this one here, shared the same root system. This tree is getting its nourishment from the tree that was before it. Okay? For in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, and this is Paul talking about Timothy. He says, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. You see, Paul commends two incredible women. You notice he didn't commend the grandpa or the father. It was the women. It was his grandmother and his mother. And he says their faith, their sincere faith has nourished you, and you now walk and stand firm in that same faith. He says, I'm persuaded that you have that same faith that your grandparent, your grandma, and your mother had. You see, we have a responsibility. If you have kids, it is our job to raise our kids up in the ways of the Lord, is it not? It is our job to make sure that they are rooted. That same nourishment that we draw through our own faith, we are to pass that on to the next generations. What an incredible honor it was for Eunice and Lois to be recorded in the scriptures. That's an incredible honor. We don't know his grandfather's name, and we don't know his father's name, but we know grandma and mom. We have a responsibility. We had Brenda's dad's service a couple weeks ago. And you know what? He's left a lot of legacy with family and friends. There are a lot of things that my dad has instilled in me that live on, and I am going to pass those on to my grandkids as well. And like I said, some of them not so appropriate, but they still live on. But what an incredible honor to be listed here. What is your legacy going to be with your kids, with your grandkids? What is going to be spoken of you? Are you going to be listed? Or are you going to be forgotten? We all have that opportunity to live on and pass on those things for generations to come. I would consider it an honor when I am gone, like the tree that is gone. I view it as the patriarchs and the matriarchs that have gone on before us. And now we are the ones raising up. And what are we going to pass on to that next generation? We have a responsibility to raise our kids up in the ways of the Lord. Number two, one branch that grew out of the side of the tree sprouted for a little while. It produced leaves and it looked healthy, but it is now dead. You can see it on the left side of the tree. There's a branch that comes out of the main trunk, and it looked like it started to become its own trunk. And then you can see at the top, it's dead. It started out fine. It looked healthy. It produced leaves. And then all of a sudden, it just died. And it's still there. Belinda has said, if you ever cut that down, be very careful because I could use that as decoration. Oh, brother. One branch that grew out of the side of the tree sprouted for a little while, produced leaves, and looked healthy, but is now dead. Like faith that is rooted in others, but not sustained by the actual root system, it will wither and die. You see, that branch did not come out of the original root system, gaining its own nourishment, its own strength. You see, that root system is basically our faith in Jesus Christ. The same faith that Lois and Eunice were grafted into is the same faith that Timothy was grafted into. Timothy was not a branch off of Lois or Eunice's own faith. And if you connect yourselves and your faith is based upon and supported by someone else, it will not last. We see it a lot in youth. Kim and Roger can attest. Aaron can attest. We see it a lot in youth. We have kids that come in. They seem to be on fire. They seem to be very strong in their own faith. And the minute that they leave the youth group, they're gone. And usually it's because they put their faith in a pastor or someone else and were not grounded and rooted in Christ. And when those storms, the difficult times begin to arise and that youth pastor is not there at their disposal, they do not have the faith to sustain. And they will end up dying if they're not rooted in the foundation. Here's a perfect picture in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. To me, this is the most terrifying scriptures in the Bible. And it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day." On that day is a term that is used for the day of judgment. It's used in the Old Testament. It's used in the New Testament. When he says on that day, he's talking about the day of judgment. "On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons? And in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoer.'" You see, when it says many will say to me on that day, these people had a pronoun problem. They said, "Did we not prophesy?" They're including themselves in the faith of other people. Because when we stand before God, we don't stand before God as we. We stand before God as I. You see, I'm not going to be there. Your youth pastor is not going to be there. You are going to stand on your own. And they're saying, "Well, we did this. We had incredible youth camps. We had incredible prayer meetings. We did this. We did that. We did this." And God says, "You were never rooted in faith. You were connected to someone else's faith, and it will not sustain you. In fact, it's not true faith at all." Amen. Faith, they have faith in others, but they have no faith of their own. When the winds come, when the difficulties come, you're not going to last. You will not last. Number three, there is another shoot growing alongside with its branches intertwined with the bigger tree, but with its roots in the ground. It's gathering its nourishment from the same root system as the original tree, not relying on the bigger tree for its nourishment, but benefiting from the protection of the bigger tree. So if you look to the right, you follow the main trunk. If you look to the right about a foot, there's two more that are coming up, and it grows up to about half the height of the original tree. It's kind of hard to see, but those roots are going down into the ground, into the main root system. And it's interesting because they're growing, and they're growing, their leaves and their branches are intertwined with the bigger tree. But it's drawing its nourishment from the root system. And this is facing west. And I was outside one time, and the winds were blowing pretty hard from the north, which the winds usually don't blow from the north. They usually come from the southwest. But this day, they were blowing from the north. So it was blowing this way, and that little tree was just being pushed. But the bigger tree was right alongside of it, and it was being pushed into that bigger tree, but the bigger tree was sustaining that little sapling. And I thought, what an incredible picture of discipleship. Someone who's got their roots, they're rooted in faith, but they may need some help when the winds blow. That's all of us. That's why God says we are to live our lives in a community of believers where we come beside. We have big trees in here. We have little trees in here. All of them important. And those winds, those storms are going to happen. And here's a perfect picture of the bigger tree, bigger trunk, rooted in its faith, and that littler one just getting buffeted, but it could only go so far because the bigger tree was standing right there, able to protect it. I see in this Paul and Timothy. Paul being the bigger tree, who is a upshoot from Lois and Eunice. Is it Eunice? And now you have Paul, the bigger tree, and now you've got Timothy, the smaller tree. And Paul often says, here is my true son in the faith. Paul was there to help him. Paul was there to direct him. Paul was there to encourage him. And he often says, don't let people look down on how young you are. But Paul stood alongside of Timothy. And then how many other disciples do we see that came alongside Timothy as he became the stronger tree, as he became the protector? But each one having their own nourishment and their own faith rooted in the root system. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1 says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. He didn't say, get on my back, I'll take you wherever you need to go. He says, no, follow my example as long as I am following Christ. As long as I am rooted in the root system, you are to be rooted in the root system. If I am no longer rooted in that system, stop following me. Unfortunately, I believe we have a lot of pastors who are no longer rooted in the root system, yet still have a lot of people following them. And there's a destruction is coming. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. It says, we sent Timothy, who was our brother and co-worker in God's service in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one will be unsettled by these trials. For you know quite well that we are destined for them. He says, you know the storms are going to come. That is a given. It doesn't matter who you are. You are going to have trials. You are going to have tribulations. You are going to be tested. And you better have a bigger tree to nestle up to. If your faith is rooted in someone else, you're doomed. Amen? They are going to come. John 15, chapter 15, verses 4 through 6. Jesus says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. You see, that's what I wanted to do with that dead branch. I have a fire pit. It would be perfect kindling. But my wife has given it a stay. So it still sits there. I'm waiting for a strong wind to just topple it, just knock it right off. Because it's just dry. But if we don't remain in the root system, we die. We don't produce fruit anymore. We don't produce leaves anymore. We're basically good for nothing but decoration or firewood. And that's it. Matthew 7:24 through 27 says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." You see, here we have a picture of a righteous person and a wicked person. The same exact things happen to both of them. It doesn't say that the good builder didn't have any hardships, didn't have any problems, didn't have any floods, didn't have any winds blowing in. No, they both went through the exact same thing. However, one built on the rock and built a good foundation, and the other one just didn't care about the foundation. Everything looked pretty until the difficult times came. It's the same with us in our faith. 2 Corinthians 1:24. "Not that we lord it over your faith, but we will work with you for your joy, because it is by faith you stand firm." When we go through difficult times, there's a verse in the Bible says, when you have done everything else, the last thing that you need to do is just stand firm. I've had some people that I have been very dear to me that have gone through some very, very difficult times, and they said that the last thing that I had to hold on to in the midst of it was my faith in God. That was it. But you know what? The Bible says that's enough. Sometimes that's the last thing, the last hope that we have. And it says, don't abandon, stand firm. When you've done all else, stand firm. And sometimes we get to that point. It's like, God, I don't know what's going on. I don't understand. This stinks. But you're still God. And it's a great place to be. It stinks when you're in the midst of it. But he is that anchor. He gives us the ability to stand firm. I'm going to have the music ministry team come up. And I'm going to end with this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. "We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love all of you have for one another is increasing." You see, that's my prayer for all of us, is that our faith is continuing to grow like the tree in my backyard. You see, the other tree, when it died, it was no longer taking nourishment. And it stood in my backyard for quite a few years. And one day a storm came, and I think Stephanie and I were looking out the window, and the winds were whipping, and it snapped that tree in half. And the top part came crashing down and splintered on my cable going from my house to the transformer, and it sounded like a bomb went off. But it was no longer living. It was no longer tapped into the root system. It was dead. It was still standing, but there was no life in it. And when that strong winds came, it couldn't withstand it. And it became a bunch of kindling in my backyard. That's what the scriptures say. When we don't have our faith rooted in Christ, it's not really faith at all. I think this COVID thing that we've been going through has been an excellent test on people's faith. I think a lot of faith or lack thereof has been exposed. The Bible says if you strike the shepherd, the sheep will scatter. And there's a lot of scattered sheep right now. Disconnected, not living in community any longer, happy to just click on a podcast or something on a Sunday morning. It's become a convenience. A lot of people I've talked to have said, yeah, I love just tuning in on Sunday and drinking my coffee and sitting in my pajamas. And you know what? I did it first too. I enjoyed it. It was restful. I just strolled out in my jams, made my coffee, and at my own leisure, clicked on the message, watched all the different people saying, hello, how are you? Hey, hello, hello. And then I realized this is not church as it should be. This is a convenience. And I think a lot of Christians have become a little too comfortable and doing things the way they want to do them and not the way that God wants them done. You see, if we're not rooted in faith, in the actual root system of Jesus Christ, it's not really faith. We stand before Him by ourselves. We're not going to hear a roll call. All right, next, serving New Hope Christian Center. Is New Hope Christian Center here for the Day of Judgment? Yes, God is waiting for you. You're next. And we all get up and walk in together. No, ain't going to happen that way. We all walk in one at a time and give an account. My prayer is that you're all rooted in the vine. Your roots are gathering your nourishment from Jesus Christ and not a sermon or a person or a pastor or your mom or your dad. Because we will all give an account based on what we have done. As believers, it's an incredible relief to me because there is a great white throne judgment, and that is for the people that do not know Him. And everything they've ever done, every sin they've ever committed, every foul thought will be played and rewound and displayed. Holy smokes. But if you're a believer and you're standing before Him on that day, we are to give an account of the things that we have done for Him. Some of them, it says they're going to burn up because we did them with wrong motivations. We did them for our own gratitude and for our own worship. But there are other things that will withstand that. And I'm glad as a believer that my life is not going to be run on the big screen. No, thank you. But that is between you and God. There are a lot of Christians that say, I did this. I watched the kids. I helped out in Team Kids. I was a nursery worker. I taught Bible studies. I was a home group leader. The scariest thing ever would be depart from me, I never knew you. Because it is about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, period. Nothing else is going to stand. So we need to be rooted in our faith in Jesus Christ in order to stand, in order to grow, in order to encourage and teach others how to stand and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because you can't teach what you yourself are not doing. It's impossible. Amen? Please stand. One thing that I want to encourage you in today is don't be so busy with life that you don't recognize the blessings of God and the beauty in his creation. And we can use those things to teach our kids. One of the things that we used to say when we saw an incredible sunset driving with the girls, I'd say, "Look at that sunset, girls. Nobody paints them as good as God does." And we would teach them about if we saw a rainbow. You know what the rainbow means, right? It's God says he'll never destroy the earth by a flood again. So, but we become so busy that we miss opportunities to just be in awe of his creation. And we miss opportunities to teach, especially our kids. I'm hoping that my girls with their kids, when I'm long gone and they see a sunset, you know what Papa Nitro used to say? Papa Nitro is alive and well, people. But don't be so busy that you can't stop and smell the roses once in a while. Because God says that he reveals his eternal, invisible qualities in everything that he has created. And we can learn from them, we can be encouraged by them, and we can share them. Amen? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your creation. We thank you that you have created all things, and you said they are good. Lord, help us not to take them for granted, that we may see the beauty in all things. Heavenly Father, I pray that each and every one of us here, that our faith would be rooted in you, that our foundation is in you, so that we can stand before you on that final day and hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." We thank you, Heavenly Father. I pray that you would be with every Bible-believing church this day and draw your people closer to you. And we pray these things in your name, and everybody said, amen. You're dismissed.